Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, and welcome to Living in the Upload Life. My name is William Kareem, and we shall begin with Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Islam in the Future of America.
Wait a minute, brother. See what's first. Thank you, sir. Listen, now, I don't have no questions. But I do want to let you know how much I love you.
Thank you.
I know what you're talking about, and I got what you got. Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
And I ain't got no doubt about Allah being God. I ain't got no doubt of what I read in the Quran, because I know it's the truth.
Praise be to Allah.
I love you for your wisdom.
Thank you.
From Islam. So Tala told me, Terry, she's sick, and she wants you to pray for her. She was unable to make it. She can't get around like she used to no more. But she loved you and told me to give you the greeting.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Now,
what's her name again?
And I'm happy to be here. Assalamu alaikum. Thanks.
Wa alaikum assalam. I want the name. The name is Allahu Akbar. Yes. No, the sister. Talaha.
Yeah, Aisha
Elamine
from Birmingham.
Sister Talaha.
No, she used to ride in me. Me and her used to.
Yes.
Sister Talaha
Elamine. All right, I got it.
She and I used to.
Yes. Yeah, I do remember seeing the two of you again. That's right. You be sure and return the greetings. I will. I most certainly will. Yes, ma'am. All right. Wa alaikum assalam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yes.
Imam, I know you spoke on marriage and community before. But I'm from the Baton Rouge community. We just remodeled Mass J. We just got it together. And we have a lot of single brothers in the community. And we've been, working on trying to get a lot of the other Mass J about getting brothers married. And I would, would appreciate it, next time in some of your previous presentation, if you would speak on the importance of, for marriage in the community, so that, we can, get the single brothers and sisters, because one of the sisters from Oklahoma only was trying to get us together, only myself and another sister way from Dallas, Texas, respond. So, if you could speak on the urgency of, marriage and family life. And
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you for the for that. I will make a note of that, and I will be speaking on the importance of marriage for the Muslim community in the very near future. Yes. Wa alaikum as-salam.
My name is Shahid. My question is, I've been told that it's spooky for me to believe. Situations in the Quran when Allah said that He commanded Moses to strike the sea and depart it, and that Jesus, He spoke in the cradle. Allah said this in the Quran, and I know there are signs and things that Allah says.
Yes.
But I believe this base. I believe the base of it.
Yes.
The question is this a wrong understanding of the Quran, or and is this spooky thinking for me to believe it?
Yes. No, everything in the Quran is pure and perfect.
That's right.
Whatever it says is pure and perfect. It says that Jesus spoke, peace be upon him, while he was in the cradle. He did that. It said that God ordered Moses to take his staff and to strike the water. The waters parted. He did that. Right. Pure and perfect. Pure and perfect. Now, God will bless us with insight, and whoever He chooses to bless with insight, He will bless them with insight and more understanding of that.
Yes, sir.
But we are not to say anything in the Quran is incorrect the way it is given. It is correct exactly as it is given. Allahu Akbar. Wa alaikum as-salam.
Question more on a personal nature. I work in a public school. I'm a teacher by trade. And in keeping with the Quran, the Quran tells us do not take part in interest and do not take interest. In the school system, they take money from teachers and call that teacher retirement. And they pay us interest on that.
Yes.
Don't have a choice in that. I want to know what is the correct thing to do.
Yes. Well, first thing we should understand understand an obligation. We should understand an obligation and our circumstances. Understand an obligation and our circumstances, because Allah says also, "Do not eat pork." Pig, flesh of the swine. But Allah says too in the Quran, unless it is to save your life. So if my life is threatened, who knows? Maybe some in those days, and maybe it could happen, getting to fall in the wrong, in the wrong circumstances in America today. That some person who hates your religion so much that they will kidnap you, lock you up, starve you and say, you ain't going, if you're going to, well, die, sucker, if you don't eat this pork. You're going to get nothing else, die then. So Allah permits us to eat the pork. But if we start eating the pork and enjoying it and tell them to bring us a second helping, then the punishment comes. Then the punishment comes. But as long as it's to save our life, it's not. If you have no desire to take interest, I say to you, get your money and get whatever your money has earned. Take it. It's yours. And you have committed no crime. You're welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Mine is not so much a question, but I'm a Christian.
Yes.
And I was invited by Rashida Muhammad, and I'm from Union Springs, Alabama.
Yes.
My name is Jeffrey Williams.
All right.
And
well, we're happy to have you here today.
Thank you. And you know, me and her become friends.
Yes.
And we talk, and I tell you, I go in a store and in a shop, and we'll get to talk about the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to think about the things that that make for peace. You talk about our unity in the faith.
And
those are the things that you hit on, which I hope that all Muslims really grasp that in their heart and not just in their mind.
I hope so, too.
And not only Muslims, but mm-hmm. Christians also.
Yes.
Because if we focus on God,
mm-hmm.
which is the source and supply,
yeah.
and we focus on Him,
mm-hmm.
and not on each other,
right.
For pointing the finger and the
right,
finger.
Right.
Become servants of God and not just wishes them with our mouth.
That's right.
You know, in my Bible it says, with your mouth you worship me, but with your heart are far from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think about that scripture that says, love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, soul,
yeah.
body, and strength.
Yeah.
And how do you love your brother?
As yourself.
How could a man say that he loved God whom he have not seen and hate his brother whom he has seen?
That's right.
And love not in words, but in deed
yes.
and in truth.
That's true.
And those are the things that you talked about. And I hope we go back to our community and where we came from. And let's just do what the words say. Do what your Quran says.
Praise be the Lord.
I do what my Bible says.
Yeah.
And we'll walk in peace. And love and
that's right.
I think that's what God is here. That's what I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, God sends us help. His presence here today is help to us. That's the way I see your presence here today, brother. That's help to us. Yeah. Yes, sir. Walaikum Aslam. This one. This will be the last one, though.
Yes, sir. It was a great honor to work security for you in Detroit.
Yes.
Be security for your personal family in Detroit. I consider that a great honor.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Brother Imam Timon Al-Amin and AJ Bree and everyone here. So that was a great honor. I've been in the community since 1973. And when you took leadership in 75, Allah blessed me to make the transition.
Great be the Lord.
From the Lord, Rabbi
Al-Amin.
I would just like for you to just maybe comment on how people would be sent into the community to hold down good brothers and sisters. You referred to them as the Jacobites at one time in your leadership. So, you know, I just wanted to speak on that. You know, just very brief. Thank you, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, yeah, you know, two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. That's a law of physics. Two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Now, the more we grow internally, to have our internal self filled up with the love of Allah and the love for obedience to Him, the less room there will be inside us for anything that's other than that. Same thing for our community. The more our community grow in better people, good people, sincere people, the less room there be for the hypocrites, the infiltrators, the imposters. So don't worry about them, you know. I'd much rather go looking for a believer than to go looking for I spy or infiltrator. Because I waste a whole lot of time looking for the infiltrator. I can find a believer quicker. So instead of looking for the people that's among us to hold us down and hold us back, look for the people that's among us to hold us up and to urge us to go forward. And the more we do that, the less room is going to be among us for the other one. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah, to be what I mean, Bismillah, Ahmed, and Aheen, and we have a telephone call on 706-627. Your microphone is open.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. And just like Imam will say, just echoing what he say, and I think the opportunity that we had Saturday, is still on the table. Allah is blessing us to say, oh, you who believe, hear and obey and come and establish this model community, paraphrasing, so that all human beings can have the opportunity to be amongst the believers. We came forth down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think wasting time, continue trying to cultivate or coerce or develop people who have made their choice in life at this time by Allah's permission. And Allah will grow them into being believers, not us. We're not saviors. We are examples of what we are supposed to do in this reality here on earth and bring this thing to a conclusion because we believe in Allah, not because he's going to force us or that they are jumping, catch us off guard and all like that. Let's do it because we know without a doubt that Allah is God and Muhammad is his messenger. And that's all we should be trying to get a hold of. And that's all who we should be talking to because no one is dumb. Everyone has had this way of life except for the descendants of the African slaves in America who it seems, by Allah's permission, has the opportunity to come and establish this model community of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where no one has done yet on this earth since Adam all the way up to where we are now. Let us not waste our time, as Imam says, worrying about any other person, because Allah has made it clear. If you come to him with any other way of life other than what he has prescribed for you, my favorite, Islam, then you will suffer the consequences. And it doesn't have to be bad, but you will get your justice. You will get what you get. Sure. You deserve for choosing not to come together as a believer in your creator and what he has prescribed for you. Just want to say that. I said,
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. We appreciate that very much. I think it was something that our imam said, which was very interesting, about eating pork. And this is the eating of pork. Well, we know as Muslims today, we know not to eat pork. I mean, you know, there's so many. But I mention this because at one time, our forefathers were forced to eat pork. You know, they didn't get the pork chops. They didn't get the, you know, the bacon and all the rest of that. They got the pig feet. They got the chitlins. They got the worst parts of the pig. And it was throwaway food. And our ancestors used pork, throwaway food, to nourish themselves and to nourish us. I remember growing up eating pork. I remember eating bacon. I remember eating ham. And I remember eating pork chops. Those were the three that my grandmother basically raised us on. And it kept me alive. It kept us alive. That's the point that I wanted to make, that today, you know, today, that would be the situation today because we have options. But at that time, it was
it was acceptable to eat pork. As a matter of fact, you know, some of, you know, I used to tell my children, I said, you know, like, you came from a piece of broccoli that I ate, and I ate the piece of broccoli, and, you know, it was decided when I ate that piece of broccoli that, you know, oh, okay, you're not going to be bone, oh, you're not going to be blood, you're not going to be skin, but you are going to be sperm. So I always told my children that, you know, you came from a piece of broccoli. But the possibility is that it could have been from a Hogmore sandwich. You know, it might have been that Hogmore sandwich that I ate. It might have been that piece of bacon, because pork had life in it too. So at that time, you know, eating pork was acceptable at that time, and it was life-sustaining at that time. It's not the situation now, but there was a time in our generational history when pork was acceptable to eat. Brother Muhammad's calling back in. Let me open up this microphone. Go ahead, Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir. Okay. First of all, I'd like to make sure that you understand that that's not true, because the Muslims came over here as a slave. And all of us who was over here as slaves, we growed potatoes, cabbage, and everything for the slave master. But those who ate pork before they came here to this country as a slave is the reason why they were still open to the psychology of eating like animals and eating a flesh that they wasn't aware of, which was good for them or not good for them. Now, I myself, I was when I quit eating pork.
Brother Muhammad, let me ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
In your generational history, you mean to tell me as an African-American that your people in your generational history didn't eat pork?
No, I'm glad you said it that way. Now, remember now, I quit eating pork in the fourth grade. Once I got knowledge, remember, we're dealing with institutional genocide knowledge through food by the slave master and, most importantly, by Shaitan. But there's always been people who did not eat the pork. The Jews didn't, remember? The Jews didn't eat pork. And the Jews were part of the slave experience that we experienced.
So you stopped eating.
They knew that it was part of our diet.
Brother Muhammad.
I worked for
Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir. I'm just trying to share with you the truth that it needs to be.
Brother Muhammad, you stopped eating pork in the fourth grade. Did your grandmother eat pork? And did your great-grandmother eat pork? Did they eat pork?
They ate pork. You're missing the point. The educational process, that's why we're talking about education is number one. They were taught this because they had it in their history already. Example, the Muslim slaves, 40% of us who came over here in America, did not eat pork. That would almost die before we eat it. And we grow vegetables and things for the slave master as instructed and beaded to do, but we also maintained our diet of eating no pork, the best we could. Now, the tribal brothers and sisters of Africa who came over here,
all I'm asking you, Brother Muhammad, is did your grandfather, great-grandfather, you know, your family, you sound like you're from the South. Are you from the South, your family?
I'm from Ohio. My grandmother was from, as a matter of fact, I'm in Columbus, Georgia. My father was born and raised here in Columbus, Georgia. And my mother was raised and born in Bluefield, Kentucky.
Right. Did they eat pork?
Bluefield, Kentucky. Pork eating. They probably
did.
Did
they eat pork?
I heard what you said. I'm trying not to let you put us both in a situation where I'm asking an untrue question. See, we want to get out the habit of giving true lies. We want to get out the habit of answering truthful questions presented to us. But yet still,
it's not clear.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you agree that the Muslim slaves that came over here to America as slaves did not let themselves be forced to eat pork? Am I right?
Let me make a statement. The statement is, did the slaves take pork? The pork that was thrown out, pig feet, pig knuckles, chitlins, and all the rest of those things,
And did they make something out of those things for themselves and their children to eat?
Okay, the answer is no, because the Muslim slave didn't do that.
Come on, man.
The Muslim slave still did not do that, his or herself, unless they were forced to do so.
I'm not.
No, we're not arguing. No, no. Don't turn this.
Don't
turn this good program now into.
Let me tell you this here. Hold on, Brother Muhammad. Let me tell you this here. Look, pork that was disposed of by the slave master, and our people would take that pork and fix it into something that could be eaten, because they weren't given the pork chops, bacon, and ham. They wasn't given that. They were given the enthralls. They were giving the parts that was thrown away. And our people, I'm talking about our forefathers, I'm talking about great-grandmothers and great-great-grand, great-great-great, they took them because they wanted to survive and they needed something to eat. That's what they did. Now, to say that they didn't, that our forefathers didn't do that, I mean, it's just not true. Go ahead, Brother Muhammad. Okay. That's the only point that I'm making. At that time in America, when our great-great-grandmothers and great-great-grandfathers were living, that pork was acceptable to eat. They didn't know nothing about, like, pork is not, you know, edible. Look, this was some pork. Look, this was some meat that I can get creative with and make it so that my children will not only have just vegetables, but they'll have some kind of meat to eat. And our people, our slave masters, I mean, our ancestors, they took that and they did what they could do. And it wasn't haram at that time. It's haram now, because times have changed and we have come to understand. That's what Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad brought us. But before that, and maybe your individual family, maybe your individual family may have not did, as Brother Muhammad said, he stopped eating pork in the fourth grade. That's what he said. But there are many families that I know that in my family, we kept on eating pork. And I ate pork up until the time I became a Muslim in the Nation of Islam in New York City. I'm going to open the telephone line, 972-467. As-salamu alaykum. Your microphone is open.
Walaykum as-salam, Ishmael family. I just wanted to say that you what you're saying is true, and just because there is an exception, that you don't argue with what's the exception. Our people did do that. So I don't understand when people argue with what's the exception to the rule. You know, that's the argument that people do, and I don't understand that. And even to say that the ones that were Muslim didn't eat pork, we don't know. So we can't say that they didn't find themselves eating pork. We don't, you know, it might have been one story that you may have heard of a Muslim not eating it. Yeah, we shouldn't argue with exceptions to the rule, and that's just not a good way to argue. Thank you.
Walaikum as-salam. You know, our people were Christians. I mean, you know, when we weren't always Muslims. You know, our people was Christians. In Christianity, it was okay to eat pork. It was okay to eat pork as a Christian. I know that there were delicacies like chitlins. I couldn't stand the smell of those chitlins. I couldn't stand it. I tried it one time. It didn't even have a taste. You had to do so much just to get a taste out of it. They would put vinegar. They put all kinds of stuff in chitlins to try to get it to give a taste. But they did it because it was a delicacy and it was something was passed on. I would go to the candy store and they would have pig feet and pig ears in a jar sitting up there, and you could get a pig foot out of the jar to eat. And a lot of people, you ate that. I'm going to take another telephone call. This here is 727-741, System Off and Allah Williams. As-salamu alaykum. Your microphone is open.
Alaykum as-salam. Greetings of peace to everyone. Yes, I stand in line. It doesn't And going in line with what the imam was saying as he presented, and thank you, as he explained about the desire to live, that's the utmost thing here that we're discovering, we're saying, is that life over death. And because of that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed that the body will take on that. But he's made it clear when you desire it. But as that being the only presentation of a meat, let's put it that way, and then it being, you know, and the life was being sustained, and the workers had to work, and whatever case, the history does reflect that the eating of the throwaway parts of the hog was in the diet. And we can say right now that this is why it is declared that in our DNA, the high blood pressure, the diabetes, the whatever itises are present, and they look for it in the majority. So even if you don't have high blood pressure, and you may be overweight, but they will assume that you do. That the reason being is because they knew what was produced back in those days, the history, and they look for it to be the results to be in our health. So praise be to Almighty God. When we say it in that way and understand it, then we can understand also the conditions of today and what we do going forward, inshallah.
That's alhamdulillah. And one of the things that we really have to always remember, that you can't judge today's understanding of things on past history. You can't make a judgment, oh, you know, the eating of pork, you know, that was bad, you know, during that time. It was bad. During that time, we shouldn't eat pork. Look, our people were trying to survive. We didn't know who God was. I mean, you know, like we're fortunate today. I mean, we were worshiping a white man as Jesus. We were worshiping a white man. We don't do that today, but at that time we did, and we were sincere worshipers at that time. But time changed. But, you know, like, is it to say that the spiritual teaching that I got, you know, from Sunday school, where they told me about Adam and Eve, and that even though they were all white, I knew what Adam and Eve did. I know what Moses did. I know what Jesus did. I knew the basic ideas of what the prophets did. So when I came in Islam and I started reading the Quran, I said, oh, I know about Moses. I know about Yusuf, Joseph. Oh, I know about Noah. But I got it from, you know, there being these white images that were presented to me in Sunday school. So, I mean, I can't disregard, you know, the teaching that was the foundation of my spirituality. I can't deny that. I can't deny that, you know, all of us at that time, we were Christian. And, you know, the church and my grandmother and everybody, they did the best that they could with what they understood. But, you know, things have changed now. No, we don't agree with that now. But that was the foundation. You can't deny the foundation. I can't deny the foundation of my great-great-grandparents. I got a Bible from 1844, and all the images in it is white, all of them. So, you know, I was like, oh, I could say that today. But at that time, oh, man, I mean, that was the book. That was the book. And the faith was there. And it's the same thing with the way that we eat today. If we don't eat like that today. But at that time, look, our people did what they had to do to survive, to make sure that their children survived. 225-590, assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Assalamu alaikum. Good morning. I'm just joining you all. The conversation is very interesting. May I make a comment?
Yes, please.
Okay. Some research I did a while back, when they brought us over from slavery, a lot of us was Muslims, and they knew this. And I'm just going to credit this to the shaitan. You know, when the shaitan is ready to grab at us, he knows what he's doing. So it's been said that when they brought us over from Africa, a lot of us was Muslims. And so he, this Caucasian or whoever he was, I don't even want to say who he is, but the Shaitan, he knew to feed us pork because he knew that it was against us. We didn't eat it in Africa when we were Muslims. We you know, and so he deliberately gave us the worst of the pork, but he also deliberately gave us, he could have given us chicken, he could have given us rabbit, he could have given us any kind of meat to eat to survive on, but instead he deliberately gave us the pork. And yes, our people survived on the pork, but I'm from the South. I'm in Louisiana, okay. And from originally Tennessee. And back in the day, my family did a wild party, which people thought they were wild people. But what it was, the men would go out in the woods in the fall of the year and get wild game. They would come back with rabbit and turtles and deers and different kinds of food. And the women had these big black pots. And they would cook this meat, these wild games. And my mother was a lover of rabbit and rabbit gravy. She didn't, you couldn't, some people would bring you eels and just anything, just, you know, meat. Because you couldn't go to the supermarket and buy meat. And if you could, you wasn't allowed to because you were black. And so we ate the pork. My parents raised pigs and chickens. And our neighbor raised cows, and they bartered with milk and cheese and butter. And my mother made bacon. She had her and my father had a smokehouse, and so we learned to survive. But consciously, we didn't know that we were. I'm sorry. And
yeah,
I just want to end it like this.
The mic. Yeah,
consciously, we didn't know that.
You're
we,
doing good. Keep going.
Oh, okay. Consciously, as a people, we didn't know we had been Muslim. We didn't know what we had been. We know when we saw roots, we was roots. We knew we were something different from what we were and what we had become. But the evolution of us from Negro to colored, we were still captured people in the mind. And I just want to say I thank Allah for Elijah Muhammad, Noble Drew Ali, Marcus Garvey, Father Divine, all these men that came, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, all these people who came to put a different ideal in our mind that we could have a change of mentality that we weren't these low-graded people, human beings. So
yep.
I want to stop right
That's
there
right.
And then end it with Imam Wardi Muhammad. That we are new people. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you for pressing one on your phone and giving that presentation. It was important, especially to let us know some of the historical ideas that happened with our people. You know, we was in a state of jahiliya at that time. We didn't know. We didn't know. I mean, yo, we were Christians. You know, and it was sanctified. You know, eating the pork was sanctified. And as a matter of fact, the throwaways of the pig. You know, they threw the chitlins away. They threw the pig feet away. They threw the pig snout away. The parts that was thrown away, our people saw that as an opportunity. Well, maybe I could get some meat off this here, and you know, for my family, I can make something of it. It wasn't a thing when the slave master saw it, it was like, oh wow, and yeah, well hell, man, you know, let them use the pig ears and the pig tails and all the rest of it. Let them use it because we ain't using it. We already got the best part. We got the pork loin, we got the pork chops, you know, we got the bacon, we got the best parts of the pig that we and all the rest of that stuff can go. You know, let them pay. Hey, they want to eat it. Hey, go ahead, because we was going to throw it away anyway. But our people saw that, yo, this is meat. This is an opportunity, you know, for our we might, you know, do something for our family. And I'm saying these things to say that we can't judge. Imam W.D. Muhammad was saying, do not eat pork unless you have to. And in that situation, you know, for our great-grandfathers and our great-great-great-grandfathers and grandmothers, it was a
a circumstance and situation, whereas it was available and, you know, it was eaten to survive. 972-467, assalamu alaikum, your microphone is open.
Assalamu alaikum, this is the Ishmael family again, and I'm appreciating the conversation. And what the sister was last saying about the wild parties, it reminds me of some of my African friends. And when they go to the grocery store, they really, if they honest with you, they really don't like it there. They say that they want bush meat. You know, they want the bush meat, and the bush meat is like the non-domesticated animals that they go out and get. You know, the rabbits, the crocodiles, the antelopes, and even the Muslim ones. They like the bush meat. You know, they may not eat the pig, but they still have a preference. And just her saying that is how that's in our culture, and that's past generations that still is part of us. And that just reminded me of that and just a lot of the things that we do. And I want to add that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother. You know, that Allah has bestowed his mercy on us and allow us to grow and develop, you know, from that stage of our life that our parents and great-grandparents and forefathers were in. And, you know, they did that, you know, the eating of pork and whatever they did, you know, the worshiping of Jesus Christ and all the rest of that, that's what they had. That's what they had, and they used what they had to make sure that the family survived up to this point, whereas, you know, we are not in that circumstance and situation. But we can't, and we shouldn't. We should not deny, you know, the struggle that our parents and the great-grandparents, our forefathers had. You know, and because we survived. We survived it. We survived it. All praise is due to Allah. We survived it. And we're here today. We're here today. And I say this to you because, you know, because this is supposed to be the upload. Like, it was something that I wanted to tell you about. It was a person who wrote on Facebook, why does the Quran say man is the vicegerent from Allah? Because a man is Allah. So someone wrote, what a nonsense post, illogical and absurd. And the person who wrote the post said, what makes this post illogical? You seem agitated. Where is your truth? You just have an opinion. That doesn't make what you said truth. So he asked the question, in this day and time, it is a logical post. Too much truth is in the environment. You know, we already went through all this about man being God. We already went through that. But the point I'm making is that there's still people that are in that space. There are still people in the space that man is God. Still there. Or there are people who are just coming into the religion or just becoming a 5% or whatever and making statements like that. But there's so much truth that's available today. How are you going to make a statement like that? And so he wrote to me, you know, about, I told him, I said, when Allah says he, in this case, he's talking about masculine energy. And he wrote, does Allah say that in the Quran? He doesn't. You are telling me what you were taught. You don't have any facts to substantiate your false beliefs. So I said, well, I'm definitely not going to debate you about it. I was sharing. Go in peace with your understanding and see how far that gets you. Assalamu alaikum. There is nothing to debate. I asked you where your quote is located in the Quran, and you can't deliver the facts. You all are mischief makers. Islam is the true religion, and you are no different than the so-called Christians. Both of you believe in the spook God that does not exist. So this is where people are at today. Some people are still there. And Imam Muhammad told us that we shouldn't even entertain these people. And that's why I didn't go any further with this brother. I didn't go any further with him because, you know, he just wanted to debate. Because on these social media sites, a lot of times that's what they want. They just want to debate. Then they try to pick your thing apart. And what you're actually doing is teaching them but they won't. They will continue to come at you with nonsense and non-illogical arguments, and then you are going to be working to make logical sense at it. And you, so basically, you wind up teaching them. Well, where does it say it in the Quran, brother? Where's that at? So that's what happens. Yeah, I said, yeah, you want to debate. Even when I offer you peace, you respond with egocentric words. You have exposed yourself. Your slip is hanging. You want someone to teach you, but you have the wrong disposition. So move forward. Go in peace and let time teach you. You are not worth it. Well, I told him he wasn't worth my time. William Kareem, what part of did not answer the question? You see? What part of did not answer the question I asked concerning your false narrative? So he wants an answer. He wants an answer. I'm not giving him an answer because his whole attitude and disposition is wrong. And this is what happens on, you know, Facebook and getting involved with people. When you find that people are not they expose themselves. There's a Muslim sister. And she dresses in full hijab, I mean, covered face and everything. And she says the most horrible, I mean, she says the most horrible things. She says some very horrible things. So, you know, it's very hard. Or were you when you realized that, damn it, I'm mad, spelled backwards is damn it, I'm mad. Why are toxic relationships so hard to end? These are the questions that they have. On it. I hate when people ask me what sign I am. I am obviously a sign from God. Stop with the stupid SHI tut already. Now, she's fully garbed. She's a fully garbed sister. And that's how, you know, she talks. But these are things that happen on Facebook. Oh, you know what? I only have 12 minutes left, man. I got to go ahead and play these announcements.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Yes, that comes on tomorrow. Courtship and marriage comes on tomorrow. The other point that I really wanted to make, you know, is, and we're talking about the upload life, but what we should also be talking about is the upload understanding of things that, you know, things that we came to understand in the past is no longer relevant today. You know, the idea, again, we talked about, you know, the image of Jesus being, you know, white is no longer relevant today. Even though our foreparents, you know, hung pictures of Jesus up, the white Jesus up in their, I know my grandmother had one up in the apartment. And when I went to church, you know, they had images of the white Jesus there. And it wasn't until Imam W.D. Muhammad came with the idea of remove all racial images that it really hit home about the images of
racial images in worship. So we got past that. So we past that now. But there are some people that are still there. So what are we going to do? We going to fight with them? You know, because you know people have decided that you know they're still going to make statues and go to their places of worship and worship Caucasian images of statues, that they're still going to do that? We supposed to argue with them about that? Oh, not today. No, not today. We're not like that. You know, okay, to you be your way and to me be mine. To you be your way and to me be mine. You know, the whole idea about, you know, Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, you know, saying that in the name of Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad? Yeah, you know, that was fine for that time. Dr. Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, he was like, yeah, you know, like a man came to me and he inspired me so much and he must have been God. And so he would always say, give credence and credit for Farad Muhammad in the name of Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. You know, because it was a man that came to him and inspired him to make a change. And so it was like, you know, but today we don't understand. We're not with that today. But that was that. But that's our history. That's the history of the Nation of Islam. And everybody would say, in the name of Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. We would open up. The ministers would open up like that, because Elijah Muhammad told them that that's what they had to do. But that's not. But that's the historical right now. The historical way to look at that now is, you know, the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad was inspired by a man that he thought was God because of the information that he brought him. And there are people who say that that shirt. But look what that understanding that you call shirt, look what it did. Look at the social reform. They said, well, that was shirk, you know, but he was a social reformer. No, he was a man blessed by God. He was a man blessed by Allah to make significant changes, because there's not a significant change that cannot be made without the permission of the creator of the heavens and the earth. So, yeah, well, you know, he was doing shirk, but, you know, like that was shirk. You know, shirk. But he was a social reformer. Nah, he was a man that was blessed by God. But that's not what that's what people will do. They will judge today's understanding with yesterday's history. They don't understand yesterday's history. They don't understand it. They don't understand where we were as Christians. They don't understand. They don't understand the history of Elijah Poole. They don't understand the history of Clara Evans. They don't understand their history. All they know is that they said, you know, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad? That's shirk. But you don't understand the history. You don't understand how that came about. Allow people to, you know, write our history and tell us what's shirk and what's not shirk. Not in this day and time. We can't do that. Imam W.D. Muhammad was the one who told us about, you know, the situation with Master Farad Muhammad and his father's belief. He told his father, Imam W.D. Muhammad told his father, he said, Daddy, I would believe you are God before I believed that Master Farad Muhammad was God. And the Master Elijah Muhammad, he couldn't understand it. But that's where he was at that time. And all praise is due to Allah, the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad had a change of mind and a change of heart. And when he had that change of mind and change his heart, he understood that Honorable Imam W.D. Muhammad was to make the transition and take the community in a whole other direction. Alhamdulillah, if you know what I mean. So we're very thankful for our history. And we're not going to allow anybody to tell us about our history. You're not going to use the word shirk when you don't understand what the word shirk means. That's shirk, brother. That's shirk. And we have well-known imams in Zoom. I heard an imam, very well-known,
email, he said, I gave Fuller Brothers, a minister and his lieutenant, the Shahada. And they took the Shahada, and then they were called back to Chicago. And when they were talked back to Chicago, they had to be reprogrammed. That's how he said it. He had to be reprogrammed. But the mere fact, when somebody takes the Shahada, it's done. That was your responsibility. You got the person to take the Shahada. Now it's between Allah and the person that took the Shahada. That's it. Now, if that person goes back or forward or to the side or the left side, that's between him and Allah. That ain't got nothing else to do with you. It has nothing else to do with you. If they bear witness, I bear witness that there's no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah, 1,400 years ago, is not God, but is the messenger of God. If they witness that, and then they go to the side, or they go back or forward, or they go to left side and right side, hey, it ain't got nothing else to do with you. You took care of your responsibility. You took care of your responsibility. So let us be clear about what our responsibility is. Our responsibility is to deliver the message clear. That's it. That's it. Deliver the message clear and leave the rest of it to Allah. And I'm telling you, we may not understand it. We may not understand it. We might say, he's not responding the way that I want him to respond. No, I gave him the Shahada, and he went backwards. He went to the left. He went to the right. Nope, that ain't between you no more. That's between him and his Lord. That's between him and his Lord. Our responsibility is to deliver the message clear, period. We don't have to argue with people. Let us deliver the message clear. And the message is clear in the Holy Quran. It is very clear of what the message is. So I got 2 minutes left, and anybody has a question or comment that they want to make regarding this, please press 1 on your phone. I played that part about Imam W.D. Muhammad this morning because, like I said, too many times, you know, we judge today's circumstance with past history, and we make judgments on past history with the knowledge that we have today. You can't do that. You can't do that. It doesn't work like that. And so when we talk about the upload life, when we talk about that, you know, these are technologies that are continuously changing, continuously. And as far as the upload life is concerned, it's going to continue to change and make adjustments. But the reality is the book of guidance and Allah's creation. That's the reality of it all. The book of guidance and Allah's creation. So as long as we stick to the book of guidance and Allah's creation, we're going to be good. We'll be good. Because these technologies will continuously change. And they will continue to say, well, I'm right. Yeah. Go left, go right. No, go backwards. Oh, you got to move forward. You ain't moving forward fast enough. You gotta move forward fast enough. Nope. Well, I want to take this time to say that American Muslim 360, that today at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Muslim American Power will be on, and then later on tonight it'll be Optimal Health and Maya Cooley Howe with Imam Abdul Aziz, and that's at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's going to be today on American Muslim. Also, tomorrow I ask you to make sure that you tune in for the Lives of the Prophets, which will be at 8 o'clock. We are still on Musa. We're still talking about Musa, and we will continue that with the readings from the stories of the prophets by Ibn Kathir. And so until tomorrow, I give you greetings of peace.
of Assalamu Alaikum, and we're going to play this.
Assalamu Alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.